Well, certainly good to see you here this morning, and again, welcome and happy Mother's Day. Glad to see all of you here this morning. Have you noticed we live in a pretty crazy, mixed up world that doesn't make a whole lot of sense? And that is what we've been working through in the book of Ecclesiastes. The word Ecclesiastes means teacher. Good. You're good. It means teacher. And so this teacher, we assume, is Solomon. And so he's wading through all these chapters of trying to find meaning under the sun. So he quickly shows us there are two realities that we live with. One reality is under the sun. In other words, without God. And what he's been doing throughout this book is shooting holes in the power and the effectiveness of what we can accomplish with our own wisdom. And you just cannot make sense. It's like when you look at an iceberg, you only see the tip of it, but there's so much more. So he says, there's more than just the reality of under the sun. If that's all the reality in life there is, then it is a hoax. You can find no meaning. But this other thing he says, there is another reality, a reality necessarily that you cannot see, but it's like an iceberg. There's so much more of the iceberg that you cannot see than you can see. And we talked about there are things in this room that you cannot see. Like what? Air. Very important, right? But that's a reality, even though it's not seen. So he's saying if you only look at reality under the sun, what he spends the whole book on is shooting that full of holes, is that you will never find meaning under the sun. Not with just our wisdom under the sun. There has to be another reality, and that's what he begins to unpack here. So we're all going to land this today. Timothy put down the landing gear last week, and we're going to land it today. And see, bottom line, in the conclusion, a number of times he said in conclusion, what is his conclusion? His conclusion was, human wisdom is extremely limited and will never make sense if we only use human wisdom. No matter how smart you are, no matter what your knowledge is, it is limited. And then he begins to say there are actions that you take so that you have knowledge. Do you realize knowledge will not change anything unless you take action, unless you do something with the knowledge that you have? Suppose you graduate from seminary with a 4.0. Does that give meaning to life? No. Not just because you know a lot, unless you take action. So what he's going to be doing as we land this, he's going to be saying, here are the things that you have to do to find meaning in life. It's more than just gaining knowledge or human wisdom. It is take action to do certain things. So let's look at three actions that he points out here. Number one, step number one in this action is found in verse 9. Not only was the teacher wise, let's just stop there. The first step was to be wise. And he understood wisdom. He understood the wisdom under the sun and over the sun. The wisdom under the sun was very limited. So he says the teacher was wise. It was a wisdom that comes from God. Proverbs, you remember that Solomon wrote Proverbs. And he said, only the Lord can give wisdom. Now, we can have a lot of wisdom like a philosopher, or great wisdom under the sun, but it never does put the Humpty Dumpty together of this messed up life. But he said, this teacher was wise. He went on to say, wisdom is the most important thing. Do everything you can to get wisdom. Now, wisdom is two different worlds here, the reality under the sun and the reality beyond the sun. In other words, the wisdom without God, it'll never put life together in a meaningful way. Solomon knew and had the experience of God-given wisdom. Remember how that happened? God came to Solomon and he said, Solomon, what is one thing that you'd like to have? I'll grant it to you. By the way, if God came to you and said, I'll grant you one wish, what would you wish for? Would it make life meaningful? Would it fulfill life if that was granted to you? Well, you know what Solomon said, don't you? He said, Lord, grant to me a listening or hearing ear. A shema means listening or hearing ear. We know that as wisdom. This kind of wisdom comes from hearing God. This wisdom comes from direction from God. This wisdom comes from God speaking and directing our lives. Have you ever thought in your mind, if I could just have this, or if I just got this job, or if I could just get on this path, that would bring real meaning in my life? What happens? What happens to things you think, you know, if I could just get this new car, what happens to the car? It gets old. If I could just have this house, it would bring so much meaning in my life. What happens to the house? It gets old. So what is it that you're going to look for? I had a secretary one time. This is interesting. Her name was Charlene. And my wife is Charlene. So we had fun with that. And she said the thing that brought her and Stanley together is she was so attracted to him because he had a sports car and long wavy hair. And when she told me that, I thought, I don't understand that. Stanley has no hair. And he has no sports car. Where'd all that go? You know? So the things that look so appealing to us, think this would be so meaningful. That's wisdom under the sun. Unless some way, I don't know how many times that I have thought that I knew best with the direction of my life. I thought being in business, certainly not ministry, would be meaning in my life. Most of the time I would look at things and I'd think, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. Did you ever notice that people, when they go to college and graduate with a degree, how many never use the degree? Because they, oh, that's not going to be as fulfilling or meaningful as I thought it was. So they go back, maybe get another degree. Or they start with this job and they go to another one. And so we're, as humans, we use our human wisdom, but many times that doesn't lead us down the ultimate road that we're really searching for. So he says here, you know, that this, he said, this teacher is wise. This, just to conclude, this is a wisdom that comes from God. Here's what he thought about human wisdom after all of this, and he shot holes through it over and over and over. I like the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases this in the Message. Look in chapter 1, verse 17. What I finally concluded is this so-called wisdom, in other words, human wisdom and knowledge, they are mindless and witless. Look what he says. Nothing but spitting in the wind. Means nothing. This wisdom that we have of human wisdom that we think is so wonderful, maybe impress people, he said, I've tried everything. Here again, what he's trying to do is he's trying to drive us back to the ultimate resource, and that is God. Because all the wisdom here that he's shooting at, he said, you know, I've had the opportunity of having the wealth and being most wealthy in the person in all the world. I've done great works. I've had more women than you can count. That was a wrong road too, by the way. And then he said, I've tried wine. You know, I tried to get high on all kinds of stuff. He said, I've tried it all. And in my human wisdom, it came up empty. He's trying to force us to realize the wisdom under the sun will get you, it's limited, and it will always come up short. So he says here, the teacher, not only was he wise, step number two, first of all, take action to be wise. That only comes from God. Second is do something with that wisdom from God to help somebody else. In other words, it's not about you. He doesn't give us God-given wisdom just for us. We have to get out of the way and let Him work in and through us. So he goes on to say, impart knowledge to the people. Impart just means that you find a way, that some way that you're going to help somebody else with what you know. You're always trying to give away what you know and what you have of helping someone else. He goes on to say it this way. He said, words of the wise are like, and by the way, he says, just the right words. I'm going to try to help other people with just the right. He's very selective in helping somebody else. It's not a know-it-all. You've been around know-it-alls. But he's very selective in the way that he would impart that knowledge. The words of the wise are goads. What's a goad? Anybody know what a goad is? Go look it up, if you would. Let's go on. goad means a prod. You know what a prod is? Somebody prods. And so he said, if you're going to help someone with this wisdom, you're going to, like a shepherd that would take the stick as a prod and gently guide the sheep in the right direction. And so if you're going to help somebody, it's not, I understood a prod. We used to haul cattle to Springfield with our customers. They'd raise cattle and sheep and pigs and all that. And we'd go early in the morning. I don't know why they felt like we had to get there so early in the morning. But we go and run them up a chute into our truck, and then we'd take them to the stockyards. And sometimes those cattle would need to have prodding, move them into action. So the whole point of this is to move people into action. So we'd use this prod. This prod was about this long, had flashlight batteries in it and a button. And it would had two prongs, and sometimes fire would just fly out of them, you know, and it would move them along. You put that behind any cattle and they would start moving, except there was one animal that was the most difficult to move with a prod. Have any idea what that was? A pig. You know what the pig could do? Just sit there and squeal. Could not get that to move forwards. So the whole point of this is, how do you, if you're wise, the second step is you take your wisdom, be very selective in your words to move them to action. It's not just to give them a lot of information. How do you move people to action? This is a good question to ask as parents. How do we work as parents to move and inspire? You know, my dad only had a sixth grade education. But my dad was very wise. I watched people come into our general store all the time asking for his advice. And I would watch that and I think, you know, that did not come from his sixth grade education. And then I got to thinking about what has made him so wise. And then I watched day in and day out him sit down with his Bible and read. I'd watch him many times at nighttime. The church was right up behind our store. He'd be sitting out there alone with God, getting a little bit more wisdom, trying to get insight from God, a hearing ear. Wisdom is a hearing ear. God, what do you want my next step to be? And I cannot come up with that on my own. I've tried that. And the second step, he says, is then help somebody else to encourage them to move along And not just, it's more than just discipleship doesn't mean very much if it doesn't move people to change heart and take action. I've seen discipleship over and over. You know, they go through this discipleship book, and I see no action. That is not discipleship. Discipleship happens when you disciple somebody. By the way, who are you building your life into? Do you ever think about that? Who are you building? Who would say, who would call your name to say, this person is really building into my life? And what he's saying here is you have God-given wisdom. Meaning comes when you allow that wisdom to touch somebody else, to move them along as a disciple. We want this to be a church that makes disciples. We don't want people just with a big head of knowledge. We want some way to that bring life change. And there's meaning in life when you feel like we had a... In one of our training sessions, we had you'd know their name immediately if I mentioned it. They're probably world-renowned right now. And a new believer. And they were asked to come in with a group of pastors there and do some teaching. Now, remember this person saying when they walked out, I think God worked through me today. Never had experienced that before. It was a whole different meaning of life. That some way, it was more than the knowledge that they had of running a big company. But all of a sudden, there was meaning there that the lights came on. I felt like God worked through me. Do you ever sense that? Of God working through you? Maybe where you're at work? Maybe with your family? Maybe with a neighbor? So he says, meaning comes not just in having this wisdom, but getting out of your way enough that you actually make a difference in somebody else's life. Now he gives a warning in verse 12. He says, be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them, into this wisdom. I'm making many books. In other words, all this wisdom that comes from books. Of making many books, there is no end. Over and over, there's more books coming out. And much study wearies the body. But if it's only human knowledge and wisdom, it gets you nowhere. So be warned. It will never bring meaning. I'm just sort of for fun of it, I'm reading a book right now on Truman. And when he was in Independence, this is long before he became president, he was an extremely industrious reader. Read constantly. He'd go to the library in Independence. And it says that there was 2,000 volumes in the Independence Library at that time. And he set out to read every volume, and he did. Suppose you read every book at Mid-Continent, and you know everything that is there. Will that make your life more meaningful? We live in an information age right now. We have more knowledge and information than we've ever had in history. Up to the year 1900, information doubled every 100 years. Did you get that? Information doubled every 100 years. How often today does information double? Any idea? Now information is doubling not in a 100-year span, but in a 12-month span, information doubles. An article I read this week said that in the near future, information will double every 12 hours. Now life is so much more meaningful, isn't it? No. You can know it all. Have you ever met people that thought they did? Okay. You can read every volume in Mid-Continent. You have all the wisdom that under the sun there is to give. And what he's trying to do throughout this whole book has come over and over and over again. It will never bring meaning in your life. Wisdom and knowledge under the sun is limited. And then number three, here's where it all boils down to. The first is have God-given wisdom. That's the first step. Seek it with all that's within you. Second, figure out a way to help somebody else in giving it away. And number three, and ultimately, here's where it's headed. Honor and obey God. Why don't you just say that with me? Honor and obey God. One more time. Now, how in the world does that bring meaning in life? What's he saying when he boils it all down and saying, honor him? In other words, here's the way he says it in 12:13. He says, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Sum it up. If you want to have meaning in life, here's the summation of it all. Fear God and keep his commands. Fear God and keep his commandments. What does it mean to fear God? Fear means to honor. It means to reverence. It means to respect God. The fear of the Lord, the proverb writer says, the fear of the Lord, this is in chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge, don't miss this last part, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, a personal knowledge. He's boiling it down to this. Meaning in life comes in a personal, covenant, loving relationship with God the Creator. Let me say that again. Is not meaning in life mostly related to relationships? The meaning in your life comes in personal relationships, okay? The greatest of which is with God Almighty for a meaning in life. So he says here, wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is the fear, the reverence, the respect of God. You want to respect and please him above all else. What he is in your life matters more than anything else. And knowledge, this knowledge is a very personal, covenant, intimate, loving relationship that gives meaning in life. It is the greatest. It is the greatest. There is no relationship on earth but what you could lose, except this one. It's a relationship with God that is a loving, meaningful relationship. That is the one that we respect. This respecting God and honoring him is to value him. What do you value more than anything else in all the world? You know, what you value, you will take action on. So your house is on fire. What would be the one or two things that you would risk your life to go back into the house and get? Your kids? Or the dog? Yeah, the dog will obey me better than the kids, so I think I'll just get the dog. Any of you go get your computer? Think, man, this is a day I'll be set free. Leave it there, you know. Or what would it be, you know? Whatever you value is what you'd go after. And so to fear God is to value him above all else. It's a relationship. When I do a wedding, I remind the couple, one of the key things in a growing relationship is to respect one another, to value them. When you have a high value of your mate, it will protect you from ever doing anything that would harm them. It will protect you from saying things you ought not say when you value them. And that's what it means here in this relationship with God to have meaning. Finding meaning in life is in a relationship. At first with God, and then that spreads to every other relationship in your life. And then he says, keep these commandments. What commandments? Remember the guy that came to Jesus and said, out of all the laws and all of the commandments, boil it down. What's the most important? And Jesus said what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love. Love is with all your heart. He goes on to Matthew 22:40, just to remind you, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You are what you love. You are what you love. Say it with me. You are what you love, not what you know. You are what you love, not what you know. Just because you gain more knowledge, that necessarily doesn't change your life. You are what you love. You know, when Jesus came to Peter, and this was after the crucifixion and the resurrection, and they'd come in to fish from fishing, and Jesus was there, and he pulls Peter over the side. Now, remember that Peter is the one when Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. See, he knew. There's a lot that he knew. All of his travels for these 3 years with Jesus, he knew a lot. But Jesus didn't pull him aside and said, now let's do a little rehearsal here. I want to make sure that you know all that I've taught you. Is that what he asked him? He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Some of you that have never crossed the line of faith and you're still not become a Christian. It's not a matter of what you know, not even a matter of what you believe. I don't know how many people I've worked with that say, yeah, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe he was resurrected. I believe he's the Savior. I believe all of that. It changes nothing until you love him. He's not so interested in what you believe as he is who and what you love. Did I say this? You are who you love. You are what you love. It is in that love relationship that we have meaning in life. You can choose to love whatever. Be careful of your choice. There's a lot of things grabbing attention for your love that looks like it'll bring a lot of meaning in your life, and it demands your life, it demands your time, it demands all you are. How's that going? Is your life getting more meaningful? Outside of a relationship that God wants us to have with him. 1 John 5:3 says, this is love for God. You obey his commands. And I like this last part. And his commands are not burdensome. When you have love for God, you don't do it because you have to. You do it because you want to. When I was dating Charlene, she was at one college and I was another, and I'd drive there, and a lot of times on Wednesday night, my grades really failed during those days. But anyway, I'd drive there on Wednesday night, and I'd go pick up some flowers and a little vase, and I'd hold them with one hand and drive with the other because I didn't want it to turn over. Plus, I was practicing for when she got in the car, you know. But anyway, and I would not... That would not be burdensome to me at all. To drive there and hold that vase, it was a joy. It was not burdensome because I loved her. Only to find out some years later she doesn't even care about flowers. You think I gave her flowers for Mother's Day? No, no. When you love God, you don't have to go to church. When you love God, you don't have to read your Bible. When you love God, you don't have to keep his commands. Love is so compelling. Love draws you. Who do you love? What have you chosen to love? You'll never find meaning in this life unless you make that right choice of who and what you're going to love. Not what you believe, not what you know, but who you love. That's the essence of discipleship. Of being a disciple is having a heart that's changed. It's not gaining a whole lot of knowledge and knowing how to do all these kind of things that sounds religious. But who you love. Do you love God in a personal relationship? Do you have a love right now that overflows meaning and purpose in your life? This teacher tried it all. And he shot holes throughout it, all through that this book. That all you learn, all you gain, all you have, nothing. Unless you go beyond this under the sun in a relationship, a personal, covenant, intimate, loving relationship with God that'll affect your relationship in every other part of life. So the question is who and what do you love? Could I pray with you? Father, I am just always amazed that you allow us to know you and to love you. It's not a matter of just gaining wisdom under the sun. It's a matter of gaining a wisdom that's beyond this life, a wisdom that gives us insight with a hearing ear. Thank you that we can know you personally, intimately, in a covenant, loving relationship with you that lasts forever. I have no relationship on this planet Earth that I could not lose, except with you. And that brings us stability that so many things in this life does not make sense. But I find meaning in this love relationship that I get to do a lot of things. I don't have to. I get to. And I find meaning. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.